Welcome to the Damascus Road Gospel Talk Show. This is a service of the Damascus Road Community Baptist Church in Cockeysville, Maryland. Reverend Tony Lawson is the pastor. This is Joseph Miller. For those who listen to our talk show on the internet and you have questions or comments, our email address is damascusroadcbc@gmail.com. On the last program, we stopped at Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. I read the verses but didn't comment on them, so we'll start there. Before we do, be sure to keep your phones on mute, except when making a comment or asking a question. Also, please have pen and paper ready to jot down information. Now let us pray. Lord Jesus, we look to you to teach us in this Holy Week where we remember the suffering you underwent for our salvation. So, Lord Jesus, take charge. We are your children. You purchased us with your blood. And we know that you have great, great care for us and love for us. So teach us, draw us, minister to us, make us more like yourself, Lord Jesus. And we ask it in Jesus' name, Holy Father. Amen. All right, I'm going to read the first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 8. At that time, says the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah and the bones of its princes and the bones of the priests and the bones of the prophets and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. They shall spread them before the sun and the moon and all the hosts of heaven, which they have loved and which they have served and after which they have walked, which they have sought and which they have worshipped. They shall not be gathered nor buried. They shall be like refuse on the face of the earth. Then death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of those who remain of this evil family, who remain in all the places where I have driven them, says the Lord of hosts. At this time in history, when one country conquered another, the victorious army would ransack the tombs of the losing country to gain treasure. Then they would scatter the bones of the rich and honored in order to humiliate the conquered country and to show that their gods were superior to the gods of the conquered country. God says their bones would be spread before the sun, the moon, and all the hosts of heaven, the very gods many of the people worshiped. Their gods were not able to save them from destruction, exile, slavery, and death. Any questions or comments on verses 1, 2, and 3, chapter 8? Any questions or comments? All right, yes. Let's look at verses. Yes?
Hello? Was this a punishment? Okay.
So was this the punishment that God was bringing on the people?
Yes.
Yes, this was God's way of punishing the Israelites for their idolatry, their rebellious spirit, their disobedience. And he had warned them for many, many years, centuries really, that if they turned their backs on him, he would, you know, he would bring destruction upon them.
Okay, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Any questions or any more questions or comments on these first three verses?
I'd just like to comment. This is Sister Denise. You know, here we see people's bones. You know, you see the fragments of those that lived on earth. And this is really sad because, one, they not only died physically on earth because they did not serve the one true living God, but they went to hell. You know, their destiny was hell. They did not serve the one true living God. They didn't honor God. And even now, in this hour, many archaeologists are finding bones and fragments and all type of all type of fragments and indication of people that have died, particularly in the East. You know, it's all over the world, but I'm talking about in like Israel and all the surrounding nations where they go digging for proof of anything according to the Bible, tombs and temples. They're finding a lot of things. They're finding bones, thousands and thousands of bones. But you just got to understand, when we read this Bible and you think of all the armies that David conquered, 10,000, it's a lot of bones in the whole earth, even in America. I mean, mm-hmm. bones all over, but, you know, the fragments are there, you know, indication of a lot of things. And it's proof that many of the things that happen in the Bible, they're finding the proof. They're really finding the proof as a result of the jewelry and things left behind, clothes, bones, mm-hmm. et cetera. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Sister Denise. Anyone else with a question or comment?
I'd like to attach to that comment. This is Sister Green. So it is so amazing how his word is being confirmed, like she's saying. How do they deny the word of God when every day God is revealing revealing things that have been buried and showing people that his word is truth? That's all.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else with a question or comment before we go to verses 4 through 11? All right, verses 4 through 11. Moreover, you shall say to them, thus says the Lord, will they fall and not rise? Will one turn away and not return? Why has this people slidden back? Jerusalem in a perpetual backsliding. They hold fast to deceit. They refuse to return. I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course, as the horse rushes into the battle. Even the stork in the heavens knows her appointed times, and the turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people do not know the judgment of the Lord. How can you say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Look, the false pen of the scribe certainly works falsehood. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Behold, they have rejected the word of the Lord. So what wisdom do they have? Therefore, I will give their wives to others and their fields to those who will inherit them. Because from the least even to the greatest, everyone is given to covetousness. From the prophet even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. This chapter is noted for the number of questions God asks, some of them rhetorical questions. The first question God asks is, will they fall and not rise? Meaning, will the people of Judah fall into sin and not rise out of it? He then asks if the people of Jerusalem will continue to backslide. He listens to their conversations, and he hears them say, what have I done? Meaning, they don't see anything wrong with what they are doing. God says they are like horses rushing without thinking into battle. People are determined to, as we say in America, do their own thing. In verse 7, God says through Jeremiah that even the birds, such as the stork, turtle dove, the swift, and the swallow, know when to migrate from one area to another by observing the seasons. But God's people don't know that the judgment of the Lord falls on those who are disobedient. Then the wise men are addressed, the scribes, the prophets, and the priests. He says in verse 9 that they have rejected the word of the Lord. So do they really have wisdom? Proverbs 9:10 says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. These wise men don't fear the Lord because they have rejected his word. So God says he is going to punish them by giving their wives to others and their fields to others because they are all given to covetousness and dealing falsely. An example of this dealing falsely is that the prophets consoled the fears of the people by saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. So they are prophesying falsely, saying there will be peace in Jerusalem when actually destruction is going to come. So any questions or comments on verses 4 through 11? Questions or comments on verses 4 through 11? If not, let's go to verses 12 through 17. 12 through 17. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. In the time of their punishment, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. I will surely consume them, says the Lord. No grapes shall be on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter the fortified cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God has put us to silence and given us water of gall to drink because we have sinned against the Lord. We looked for peace, but no good came, and for a time of health, and there was trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they have come and devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those who dwell in it. For behold, I will send serpents among you, vipers which cannot be charmed, and they shall bite you, says the Lord. God asked the question in verse 12, if the people of Judah were ashamed when they committed abomination. He then answers his own question by saying, no, they were not at all ashamed. It is the same today around the world. People engage in abominable sexual acts and are not ashamed. People hear vile language in movies or on television or in songs, and many are not offended by it. Many, if not most, don't even blush after hearing or seeing such language or representations of such acts. God says in verse 13 that he will surely consume those who carry out these abominations. He will consume them in judgment. He will also take away their prosperity. He says in this verse that he will cause their crops to fail. In verse 14, God depicts the attitude of some of the inhabitants of Judah, that they will go to the fortified cities for protection from the invading Babylonians. In verses 16 and 17, the Babylonians are depicted as coming down into Israel from the northernmost tribe of Dan. The war horses are mentioned, and the troops come down from Babylon to devour the land. The troops are spoken of figuratively as serpents and vipers because of their destructive ability to harm and to kill. So any questions or comments on verses 12 through 17? Questions or comments on 12 through 17?
This is Sister Denise. You know, in looking at 12 through 17, it is a prophetic report of what has happened to those that have rebelled against God. And, you know, applying it to today, you know, just today I have read something that if anything would happen in this hour, China and the United States could have a nuclear war. And it just really makes you think about then and now, because back then, God had already showed the people who he was. There's many stories and many accounts of all the great things and awesome things that God had did, and they knew that God existed. And even then, there were laws and things, especially of Moses and things that were already established, and the people you know, like they said, you just said, you read it. They didn't really care. They were in sin and they didn't do nothing about it. So God had to really heighten up his judgment and his, you know, and him showing the people who he was and allowing them to be penalized for not being obedient. And so, you know, it's just a matter of time for our country to really be subject to the judgments of God. I mean, we've already been through the pandemic, other things through history. It's kind of magnified to us because it happened in our time. But if you go back to the turn of the century, they had some type of outburst of a pandemic in the beginning of the 20th century. So you know, things have happened before, and it's nothing but the mercies of God and prayer. The prayer of the righteous that availeth, that, you know, we really don't see a whole lot of judgment. I mean, bloodshed is upon Americans. We are killing one another, brothers and sisters, which this really, it doesn't make sense, but that spirit been in the earth since Cain and Abel. The spirit of murder been upon the earth. So, you know, we just have to really stay focused on the Lord in this time and really put it in our hearts to obey his word. That's all.
Thank you, Sister Denise. Anyone else with a question or comment? If not, let's go to verses 18 through 22. 18 through 22. I would comfort myself in sorrow. My heart is faint in me. Listen. The voice, the cry of the daughter of my people from a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their carved images, with foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am mourning. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no recovery for the health of the daughter of my people? In verse 18 and in the first part of verse 19, Jeremiah is speaking and he is mourning over what has happened to his country. He refers to the Israelites who have been or will be deported as slaves to Babylon. He refers to a far country, which more than likely is speaking of Babylon, almost certainly. In the second half of verse 19, God is speaking, and he asks the question, why have his people provoked him to anger with their idolatry? His anger has caused him to bring all of this destruction to Israel. Verse 20 refers to, quote, now this is a quote from a scholar, the two successive phases of the harvest season. The grain harvest was from April to June, and then the fruit harvest was later in the year. So this proverb indicates the hopelessness the people felt if both harvests failed. That proverb, verse 20, the harvest is past, The summer is ended, and we are not saved. That's if both harvests failed. But here it's used by Jeremiah to show the hopelessness felt by the Israelites because of the Babylonian invasion. Jeremiah mourns over what's going to happen to his country. He asks, is there no balm in Gilead to bring about a recovery of his nation? Gilead was an area east of the Sea of Galilee, noted for a balm, an ointment, that was useful in healing the body. So he's asking, isn't there something to heal the people of Israel? So any questions or comments on verses 18 through 22? Questions or comments on 18 through 22?
It's just agreeing. It's just, you know, God is crying out for his people to repent. Even, you know, of course, he speaks to his prophets, and it is like today, just the people are getting worse and worse. But because of the prayers, there are going to be a lot of people coming out. But it should not take the utter destruction of everything and people dying and all kinds of crazy stuff to come back to the Lord. And even with that, people still are not going to come back. But, you know, and there's going to be, you know, there's great weeping now. Every time there's a bad hurricane, tornado, even with the COVID. But what is it going to take for the people of America, the people of all through the world, to come back and him? They think the graven image is more important. What they want to do is more powerful than him himself, being deceived by the voice of the devil. That's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Green. Any more questions or comments on verses 18 through 22?
This is Sister Denise. You know, you ended, or the scripture ended, is there not a balm in Gilead? And, you know, I can really see the heart of God in this whole chapter. You know, he's, like you said, he asks the question and answers the question because, you know, he asks very specific questions about the people, and it's like they're not even focused on God. The spirit of darkness has buffed the area so bad that hearts, no hope or nothing. But, you know, like today, God is doing miracles. There are people getting healed. There are things really happening. We just can't think of this earth as so dark when God is really moving in this hour, and for those that trust him and those that believe in him and those that really are walking by faith, because even here in this chapter, he pulls out the fact, is there any balm in Gilead? In other words, is there any healing ointment or any healing for the people during this time of darkness and rebellion and people doing their own thing? Like you had said, they're doing their own thing. But, you know, here God even questions it in hope. You know, the hope is him. Turn to me, you know, and he showed them even back then time and time again that he was a savior, that he would rescue people out of their sins. He already displayed that in action. You know, that's one thing, the Old Testament, the people seen God move in action. They seen physically in the atmosphere, on the land. God moved in many different circumstances. And these people in these cities, he moved through the kings, even though many of them were wicked, but he still demonstrated who he was in every city. So, you know, here we look at it like today. Jesus is here. He came back. He sent the Comforter, and we still are, you know, a majority and not really trusting and believing in God. It's really something. It's really something, even in this hour. That's all.
Thank you. Anyone else with a question or comment? All right. Let's go to chapter 9 and look at verses 1 through 6. Chapter 9. Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place for travelers, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they are all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And like their bow, they have bent their tongues for lies. They are not valiant for the truth on the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, says the Lord. Everyone take heed to his neighbor, and do not trust any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbor will walk with slanderers. Everyone will deceive his neighbor and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies. They weary themselves to commit iniquity. Your dwelling place is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit, they refuse to know me, says the Lord. All right, Jeremiah is speaking in the first two verses here, and God speaks in verses 3 through 6. We know that Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. We see him wishing his eyes were a fountain of tears so he could weep for his country. Jeremiah loved Israel, and it caused him great sorrow to see what was happening to his country and to know what would happen to his country if the people don't repent and change their ways. Sort of how I feel about my country. I love America, but terrible destruction is on the way if we don't repent and change our ways. Jeremiah says he wishes he had a place in the wilderness so he could get away from his people because they are adulterers and treacherous. He is probably speaking of spiritual adultery here, though sexual adultery could be cannot be ruled out. God says in verse 3 that the people don't know him. This means they are spiritually dead. He says the people are not to be trusted. They are slanderers, deceptive, and speak lies. Any questions or comments on verses 1 through 6?
This was Sister Denise.
Well,
I'd just like to make a comment.
Yes.
My comment is that, you know, you really, in this hour, got to stay in your word to obey God so that his spirit can always be activated upon you, and also to discern by the spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that's in you as a believer. Because even back then, you know, it seemed like the people were walking around in circles. You know, they really weren't obeying God. They really weren't focused, not even on God. And they didn't even look to him for the hope. That's why many of these cities were destroyed. God allowed the enemy to come in there and overtake them. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we have about 30 seconds. So I just want to thank everyone for calling in. And if anyone has any other comments, you can give those on the next program. But God has blessed us in our study of Jeremiah today, as he does every time. So God bless you, and all of you have a wonderful Easter weekend. God bless you. Bye.